we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a situations vacant ad from the Birmingham Mail, read by Rory Morrison.
7 Trent Water. Looking for a more hands-on role? Sewerage operatives.
Thanks to John Wayne and Nuneaton for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Andy Hamilton and newcomer Carol Thatcher. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, why should one neither a lender nor a lord be?
Well, this is the loans for peerages story, presumably. I have to confess that I am so bewildered and in the dark about this story that I could be Labour Party treasurer. I mean, I watched the press conference. Even for someone as wriggly as Tony Blair, it's going to be difficult because people are going to say, well, where was this account? What was? Unless Cherie turns up with a biscuit tin that she had on the mantel show and said, oh, we kept it all in here.
Sorry, but Tom, but the kids were hungry. I had no choice.
But he looked so shifty at the press conference that, I mean, I did sit there thinking, would you buy a peerage from this man? I'm not sure you would. And nobody trusts him. Nobody trusts the government. Even the police bug them.
I would have happily handed over a stash of dosh to be Lady Carol, except the anagram is a racy doll.
If it's only loans, I think that's all right, so long as they give the peerage back when the loan's repaid. If it's just a courtesy title.
Yeah.
There was a time when you had to be a serious jazz musician to be called Earl or Duke. Now, all you got to do is lend the Labour Party £1 million and you can be called Blind Lemon Cheesecake. But people are saying the answer is we should have public funding of political parties. Not only do these bastards demand that we vote for them, they want us to pay for the privilege.
Inquiries are to be launched after it was revealed that 3 Labour nominees to the House of Lords had given the party's multi-million pound loans, which weren't declared even to the party treasurer. Labour have been shocked by the criticism they've received about the short-term loans, particularly as Tessa Giles' advice is usually so reliable. Carol, welcome to the News Quiz. Who claims to be winning the 100-day war?
Oh, this has the aroma of politics. I recognise it well. Well, Dave Brand from Notting Hill, I suspect, more formally known, they tell me, as David Cameron MP, who has held down the job of leader of Her Majesty's opposition for 100 days, one day this week.
And surely it's close? Time for a change.
Anyway, he's a modern man. He pedals around town, so I think on your bike is probably the only bit of old Tory that he endorses.
What does he pedal around town?
Pedal!
You better be able to substantiate that, yeah, Carol.
That'll be a shock, won't it? That'll be in the newspapers. Carol Thatcher accuses David Cameron of drug peddling.
But isn't it time they got a new leader? Because he's had his time's up, isn't it, surely?
Turnover isn't that high, as far as I recall.
Oh, no, it's pretty fast. Everyone gets a chance of being leader these days.
Yeah. There must be a roster. They put it on the fridge door. Oh, no, it's my turn to lead the Tory party next week.
I hope it'll never be mine.
I have to say, Carol, you've turned out pretty well considering the start you had in life.
Of course, if you'd been American, you would be leader now. It's the way it works with the Bushes.
So would Mark.
Yeah, that is slightly chastening.
Do you think having the
but
surname...
But people would follow Mark Thatcher anywhere, if only out of curiosity.
But they'd have to take a packed lunch with them, wouldn't they?
Should we move on to somebody else's family? Any volunteers?
Yesterday marked the 100th day of David Cameron's reign as leader of the Conservative Party. Over the past 100 days, the memory of Michael Howard has all but been erased from the voters' minds. a process that Howard himself started 866 days ago. Jeremy, whose Pyrrhic victory left him thankful for the Blues?
Well, this is the Tories decided to support Blair to embarrass him, and he foolishly took their support in forcing through his ridiculous new education reforms. What they've done is they've introduced chaos into education with the proviso that there must be no selection, which is like introducing piranha fish to a paddling pool with the proviso that there must be no biting. And so Cameron and Blair are now fusing. And there is a similarity between them because they both look from a distance as though they're attractive, and when you get close up, you realise they're quite ugly.
I think David Cameron's got one of those faces that always looks slightly out of focus. No, seriously, every time he comes on my telly, I just find myself playing with the blipper, just a bit thinking, oh, that's the tracking.
It has a tautness. It has a sort of Savoy quality, doesn't it?
Tony Blair has managed to sneak his controversial education bill through its second reading, despite a massive Labour revolt, and with the support of David Cameron's Tories. Friends of Mr Blair admit he owes his victory to Tory leader David Cameron, or, as he'll be known next week, Lord Cameron. Alan, listen to this. Oh, I can't control myself. Alan, who almost hung their career out to dry on the telephone line this week.
To be very careful what I say, because my car is currently parked on a single yellow line outside this studio, but though it's 6:30, it could easily be taken away and pulped if I say the wrong thing. This is the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Force, who recorded his conversations with Lord Goldsmith, which upset Lord Goldsmith no end, and Blair has apologised. I just like using those words. Blair has apologised. Unfortunately, it was the other Blair. But the...
He's a bit rubbish, isn't he? Because with all these stories about Ian Blair, you just think he's just a bit rubbish, really. Everything he does is just not very good at whatever his job is. Although, maybe, I don't know, he records people's phone calls for training purposes, like Norwich Union.
Rather sweet, I thought, was that he said the reason he recorded the conversation was that he thought it might be quite complicated and he didn't have anyone to take notes. And he thought, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, does it?
But it's an automatic thing if you're a copper. You walk around with a tape recorder. I have seen this on television. They say, Simon Hoggart has just come into the room, and they press the button and it starts running. Your entire life is about putting things on tape. Have you seen the pips on his shoulder? It really looks like an entire silver tea service. He's only a copper, but they come on decked out like a 9-star general with all this stuff going down their arm. Probably all tape recorders, but they may not.
Yeah, I wonder if halfway through he stopped the tape and said, listen, you slag, I'll stop the tape.
Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Ian Blair has got into trouble yet again, this time for secretly taping his phone conversations with the Attorney General, the Police Complaints Commission, a Guardian journalist, his own family and various other police officers, thus producing A, a huge scandal, and B, the world's worst ever mixtape. At the end of round one, the scores are everybody brilliantly doing with 4 points. And we start round two with a cutting from the Brighton and Hove Allotment Federation newsletter.
Our most rewarding work at present is with ACE, the Alternative Centre for Education. This is a school for excluded children, which is just a stone's throw from the allotment.
Thanks to Robin of Brighton for spotting that. Andy, who wants to put the fun back into funding?
Is this the BBC?
Yeah, 2 points. Carol.
What a waste of money this was. This is the white paper on the BBC following the green paper on the BBC. And the green paper said that the BBC should encourage citizenship, and then they said that the public thought that was a bit worthy. So in the white paper, Tessa Jowell said that the BBC should concentrate on taking fun seriously and putting entertainment at the heart of everything the BBC does.
It's discouraging people from... journalism, reportage, investigative stuff, anything like that, anything that might touch the jowls. Why don't we have... Jeremy Paxman is Strictly Come Dancing. They really... She doesn't want anything.
And the awful stuff about... They pointed to programmes they said were inspiring. And one of them was Strictly Come Dancing. I've never found it... I mean, it does inspire me. It inspires me to leave the room. Anyway, I just think, given that Tessa Jowell says that the BBC had to put fun into everything, I think we should make the programme as depressing as possible. I know I've made a good start.
Government has published its white paper setting out the BBC's future functions, role and structure. The licence fee will remain until 2016, and the BBC governors will be scrapped on a brand new Saturday night show called BBC Governor Scrap Heap Challenge. Carol, your question, who's not being shy about retiring?
This seems to me to be the Whitehall farce, which saw old age pensioners demonstrating in the nude because literally they've lost their shirts owing to a pensions debacle at the hands of the government. I think the core of the story was there was a report from the parliamentary ombudsman, who actually is a woman. I don't know if we do detail on News Quiz or not, but never
mind.
We do,
yes, ombudswoman.
The ombudsman, who's a woman, put out a report saying that government propaganda on these pension schemes was more or less useless, wrong, misleading, or sometimes all of those, and recommended compensation for these pensioners. Blank faces from cabinet ministers, shirking responsibility, nothing happened. Well, situation normal.
Well, I can't argue any of that. I didn't even dare. Carol is absolutely right. Thousands of workers misled by government information over the security of their occupational pensions. This has been denied, however, by the junior pensions minister, Robert Maxwell.
Ask Gordon Brown about the $16 billion Vodafone money. Where did that go? That was supposed to be for me 2 years ago. I don't lie about my age, but I turn up at the post office every Thursday and I say, where's the money from Vodafone? $16 billion quid went in that licence. Supposed to go into pensions. Nothing. Sorry, I had to get it off my chest. The alternative was taking my clothes off, and you wouldn't like that.
Jeremy, listen to this. That was Advance Australia Fair, the national anthem of Australia. Jeremy, who advanced to Australia this week and didn't pay her fare?
Well, the Queen went to Australia.
Yeah, 2 points.
I didn't know. I didn't know that she didn't pay. Did she just jump over the barriers then? She did say something about her deeply held convictions, but I didn't think you still needed them. She went over to open the new ASDA or the Commonwealth Games. Why? This is the Commonwealth Winter Sports Special Olympic Karaoke or something, where all of our former slaves show us up at the games we taught them, and we feel embarrassed because we messed about with their countries in a rather bad way and drew national boundaries that were straight and square rather than following natural lines of culture and ethnicity, and thereby guaranteeing ethnic slaughter in perpetuity. But anyway, it's just middle-class post-colonial guilt, don't worry. But, your woman, the Queen, went off to Australia to open the fate.
The Queen arrived in Australia for a 5-day tour and to officially open the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. Prince Philip did arrive with her, but he's in Australia to find Rolf Harris and teach him a lesson he won't forget for that painting of his missus. Alan, why won't everything be coming up roses for British gardeners this summer?
Yes, this is the hosepipe man. I think I really have lost the will to live. I mean, I go out in my garden every morning. It's a very small garden. We've got about 3 snowdrops leaning sideways against the wall that have been coming out since October. They can't quite make it. They can't quite reach that necessary tumescence to produce a white flower at the end of it. And they're shriveling on the bud. And we've got about 9 ants who are walking around thinking, is it spring yet? Is it time to eat his one crocus? And the rest is left to the cat, really. But I gather people with real gardens in England are going to be hard up because, thanks to the planning of the Thames Water Authority, 98% of all the water that comes into London goes through a pipe with a hole in the side. My water rates are £947 a half year, I think it is, something like that. And we don't even have anything. My wife and I have a couple of cups of tea and we've got these crocuses. And the rest is paying for this stuff to go down the drain. And occasionally men come up and erect a tent opposite our house and have a fry-up. And they disappear into this tent for days on end and they come out. And I go out, because there's water lying in the gutter. And I go out and say, and they say, you get a lot of that. He said, but by March, you'll have frogs in there. I said, why? Because that's where they spawn. The frogs of Camden Town look to the Thames Water Authority for the water it leaves lying around, because that's where they leave their frog spawn.
Beats going to therapy, though, doesn't it?
Did anyone else like to contribute?
Alan's angry about his garden.
We'd like to thank Alan for being very open. Anyone else would like to share?
Don't start me on gas. The gas has gone up.
From next month, millions of homes across the southeast face the most wide-ranging hose pipe ban for a decade. It doesn't bother us. We've already bought a hose pipe. At the end of round two, everybody has 8 points. And before we start round three, here's a notice from the Clifton Cathedral Bristol Weekly website.
Cancelled. Christian unity in the Clifton Diocese.
Thanks to Geoffrey Bowe for emailing that in. Andy, listen to this. Andy, who's putting the bugs in bugs?
Who's putting the bugs in bugs? Is this a bugs as in insects or bugs as in... Does it involve stupid scientists?
Oh, they all do, yes.
Are stupid scientists bugging insects?
No.
I'm going to get this. Are... Well, Carol says it is, and I believe her more than I believe you, Simon, to be honest.
Well, that's fair enough, yes.
It's a sciencey, boffiny thingy. Mm-hmm. About involving insects and hidden microphones. Am I warm? Am I getting close?
Not very, no.
No?
No. It's the Pentagon's Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is seeking bids to develop insect cyborgs.
Well, we were pretty close, actually.
Pretty close.
Yes.
I give
you a point.
I'm pretty much
cyborgs.
You're paraphrasing what I said now.
Yeah. Cyborgs.
Cyborgs, which are remote control fusion.
I thought you said sideboards. I was thinking... I'm thinking an ant comes in and says, like a gin and tonic, they say, help yourself. I mean,
So this is robot insects?
Yes, precisely.
The Pentagon, this is in that long list of brilliant ideas from the Pentagon, isn't it?
Typical Pentagon.
Is this like...
The invasion of Iraq.
mines on dolphins. They used that, didn't they? But unfortunately, the dolphins kept going back to the people who gave them the fish. So,
why are there going to be robot insects?
The world needs robot insects.
It's a bit of a scary thought. You stamp on an ant and then it comes back to life and says,
you poor fool! Your puny trainers are no match for me!
What are these robot insects going to do? Yeah, it's a robot army of insects. This is a lot of CIA men... With a bit too much time on their hands.
You can't expect the Pentagon to have thought this through to that extent, can you, Andy? I mean, really.
It's probably only at the research stage. Yeah. It's probably a beetle with a firework attached to it.
Pentagon's Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is seeking bids to develop insect cyborgs, remote-controlled fusions of insects and machines able to sniff out explosives and bug conversations. The most famous cyborg of all is to be found in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator movies, where an unthinking, robotic man-machine intent on humanity's destruction plays an unthinking, robotic man-machine. Carol, why does something old, something new, something foreign leave relatives blue.
Now, I'm a rusty old single, but I suspect this is the slushy romantic section of the news quiz, is it?
Yeah.
Air miles to the altar springs to mind. There was a survey, wasn't there, this week, that young couples apparently are spurning the neighbourhood registry office, indeed the local cathedral, and jetting off to the Caribbean beaches to tie the knot at a sunset barbecue. The objective is, I think, sun, sea and sex in large quantities. Don't want to knock that. And, as Simon has just mentioned, leave or ban, to borrow the government's favourite word, ban the tiresome relatives from turning up.
No. I didn't understand the air miles thing. I've been collecting air miles. I spent about 4 million quid at Tesco's, and I can fly about as far as Edgware. It's taken me 18 years.
Why don't people who get married have a Tesco's list, eh? But I'm so sick of all these people. They get married, and their list is at John Lewis. Oh, well, we need a washing machine. Well, bloody buy one yourself. Why should I be impressed? And you phone up, what's the cheapest thing? Oh, it's the Wedgwood lettuce spoon rest. £87. And they want 40 of them.
Is there anything the group want to add to that? What makes me laugh about the couples who jet off to Jamaica and Barbados is they always go in hurricane season, isn't it? Because whenever ITN do these reports about hotels that have been blown over, it's always some weeping woman in a wedding dress.
They do. They go and they get into trouble. They go abroad. They say, oh, we wanted to get married by a grizzly bear when we were covered in honey.
There were some odd locations, weren't there, that were the favourites? No.
Inside a volcano is a very popular one. Wearing a suit made of pumice.
Yeah. Or it'll be... You think there are Lord of the Rings fans who want to get married in Mordor? I think that'd be the next stage. If you loved me, we'd get married in a fictional place. I want it to be special.
Record numbers of Britons are fleeing the country for their weddings, with one in four flying abroad for their nuptials. Friends of mine are planning to get married amid the romance of a parching, dry, arid desert next year. They're holding their wedding in Essex. Jeremy, what wildlife news gave very big pause for thought?
All those things that I thought weren't true, like the Surrey puma and the Dorset tiger and the Wiltshire Jaguar, they're all true. The country is absolutely full of wild big cats. And so Attenborough has been spending our licence payers' money trolling all around the world when he could have popped down to his local petrol garage and probably have been served by a lynx. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. And there's a one that's got a huge penis, I was reading. There's a big cat that's got a bone in its penis. Now, humans are rare among mammals in that we don't have a bone in our penis. Now, given that we're the only mammals who drink, surely we would be the first candidates. Then you wouldn't have to rely on a roll of gaffer tape and a lolly stick. But they found some Madagascan wild animal cat thing whose winkle is 7 inches long and it's only 4 inches long itself or something. It's huge. And it would be the equivalent of a human being having a 3-foot winkle, which is medium, I understand.
According to a survey by the British Big Cats Society, there have been record sightings of supposed big cats prowling the countryside, with over 2,100 spotted last year alone. Many of the alleged sightings are presumed to be of ordinary domestic fat cats, a claim confirmed last week when a Vodafone director was caught savaging a sheep. Alan, who claims there will be plenty more room up top to stop us going off the rails?
This is Alistair Darling, the bloke with the... With either the fake eyebrows or the fake hair, I never know which. When my children were quite young, I say in their 50s, we had a game called Guess Who, where you flipped up the bits,
yes,
and there was a nose and the eyebrows and a mouth. And they all looked like Alistair Darling. Anyway, he wants to have double-decker trains, which will presumably go twice as slowly. And at every low bridge, half of the people going from Orpington to Euston will disappear and come out like jam. It'll be like Roadrunner. It's the Acme Train Company, you know. Anyway, this is the government's great plan to have double-decker trains. All those little gardens you go out when you're going up to Manchester will be full of commuters who come off at the curve at Watford. Anyway, that's the plan.
This week, Transport Secretary Alistair Darling outlined plans for the future of Britain's railways. It's called roads.
There was another thing in the paper this week about the flying saucer.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
British Rail.
We planned a flying saucer.
1973, British Rail planned a flying saucer. You go from Euston to Mars. Can you imagine? I mean, it was astonishing. I never got to the bottom of that story, but they genuinely believed that BR should be involved in space travel.
You still have to change your crew, though.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Mrs. M. Watkins of Newport in Gwent, and it's a pretty bewildering instruction on the outside of a packet of original Andrew's salts. And it says in capital letters, how to take. See inside label for how to open.
Carol.
This is from The Times. Power cuts blacked out much of President Mugabe's State of the Nation address yesterday, during which he promised to address Zimbabwe's chronic electricity shortages.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Pat Gibson of Kentish Town, and it's from The Telegraph, and the headline reads, poor diet and lack of exercise are taking their toll, warns Animal Charity. And this is the advice of senior veterinary surgeon at the PDSA. We do see elderly hamsters with heart disease. They get out of breath on their wheels. We would usually tell the owner to take the wheel out when they have a hamster that goes blue.
Alan. Well, mine's from Wednesday's Times, Simon. It says students are being invited to gain a degree in death. Bath University has started a course in death in society for anyone thinking of a job in healthcare.
Thank you. Let's look at the final scores. Andy and Carol have a very creditable 13, but Alan and Jeremy winners this week with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's an interview with Roger Federer from the Sunday Times magazine, sent in by Barry Knight.
Starting a family is also on hold. Obviously, that's becoming more and more a subject, but with the busy lifestyle, it's difficult to put it in.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Carol Thatcher, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Collin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chairman's script was written by George Pohl, Simon Littlefield and Lucy Clark, and the producer was Katie Tyrrell.
And next week, Simon Hoggart is joined by Francis Wheen, John Oliver, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corran.